This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2270. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded November 21st, Alaska, Australia, Canada, China, Cuba, Europe, Germany, Guam, India, Japan, Kaliningrad, Kurdistan, Mexico, Myanmar, North America, Oklahoma, Russia, Spain, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Alaska, William Smith forwards a message about the Ghosts in the Air Glow experiment. Remember that? It's from Alexandra Bischoff on behalf of Amanda Dawn Christie. Thanks for reception reports for the Ghosts in the Air transmissions in 2022 and or 2023. Amanda is preparing to send out QSL cards and would like to confirm your mailing address. If you have moved since providing us with your reports, please let us know. Check out their reception reports form on their website, ghostsintheairglow, all one word, .space. Alexandra says, Amanda and I have been able to reflect on all the incredible reception reports we received. Your contribution to Ghosts in the Air Glow is so appreciated. Many thanks for tuning in and sharing your reception data with us. Ron Howard in California reports another of those low-power private Australian shortwave stations, via remote nearby in Brisbane, Bay Islands Radio, on 5045, November 17th from 11:58 past 13:45 UT, playing pop songs. He says, I've been checking for this a lot lately, but it's off the air most of the time. And it is not Nick's Radio DX transmitter on Norfolk Island, which could appear on the same frequency. Last year, Ron had correspondence with Shannon at the station on Russell Island, Queensland, saying the transmitter is a brand new Australian SRK, carrier of 150 to 200 watts, PEP 500 to 600, and it costs 6.5 Aussie kilodollars. Ron Howard also says another station, the one on 4835, Shortwave Australia, which has co-opted the call sign of VL8K in the Northern Territory, was heard November 18th at 13:04, also on its second harmonic, 9670, as Zaharis Youngus has also reported. That, of course, not to be confused with Channel 292, but probably audible only at short range via remotes in New South Wales. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Andy Robbins in Kalamazoo reports on 6783.4 CW, a ham beacon in this 44-meter ISM band, VA3KAH/B. Heard at 2345 October 31st, it's located on Kashi Island, that's KAH-SHE in Ontario, in the Georgian Bay. ID is followed by a short tone. Our contributor in Dnipro, Ukraine, Alexander Myatlikov, spurred on by the imminent closure of the Mosbrunn, Austria, shortwave transmitter site, says next year only 11 active shortwave sites will remain in Europe of at least 100 kilowatts. They are Kostenbrod, Bulgaria, Issoudun, France, Biblis, Lampertheim, and now in Germany. The Holy See, Santa Maria di Galleria, actually in Italy. Galbeni, Saftitsa, and Ciganeschi in Romania, Novalejas in Spain, and Wooverton, UK. He says, I've been in the SWL hobby since 2001 and counted 45 European transmitter sites closed or inactive as of now since then of at least 100 kilowatts. And he provides a list of those I won't go into now. But many of them are familiar names from long ago. China, Ron Howard says, Yunnan Radio International 6035 normally gives a multilingual ID on the top and bottom of the hour, as heard via remote in Thailand, November 14th at 1300.
云南人民广播电台国际广播
Yunnan Radio International.
Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois reports another from China on 6200, voice of Jinling from Nanjing. November 13th, he says, all is right with the world. This daily visitor is back again for the season with a simply fabulous signal checked at 12:38. As usual, they come on at the bottom of the hour and play the same half-hour recording programming from 12:30 that we've heard for several years. Moody piano music, songs by Joker Shi, Tanya Chua, etc., and then they go live with the news and so forth at 1300. He also logged them on November 16th, 3 days later. The infamous double sign-on, half a minute past 12:28, the usual wonderful signal, 30 seconds of slinky orchestral music, and then off the air again, and resume transmission for good at 12:29:50, with an add string in progress. As he reported to the NASA flash sheet, Chris Campbell in Ohio says, surprised to find Radio Havana on 6000 at 04 UT November 16th. As usual, the audio is horrible, but I recognize the format and presenters. I was really wondering if they would ever come back. In spite of the problems with hurricanes and blackouts, I heard weak pulse jamming on 9565 November 15th at 0733. The Dentro-Cuban jamming command, as I call it, manages to get back on the air to jam against nothing. It's a Radio Marti frequency, but never overnight, currently scheduled for only 4 hours between 21 and 01 UT. Filed under Europe, since I'm not sure which country it's really from, this is about Radio Igloo from Karikalio in Finland. Saturday, November 23rd, a new program on the air. The West Coast DX Club in Göteborg, Sweden, is having a listening camp in a cabin in the woods north of the city. To draw attention to this, Radio Igloo will be on the air with a new program. Club members presenting their favorite radio stations, playing music they may have heard. It starts at 21 UT on 1620 kHz or on a free frequency nearby. Texas Radio Shortwave Programming Plan for the Rest of the Year by Terry Colgan. The next broadcasts are on UT Thursday, November 28th via Channel 292 Germany as follows, 1 hour each. At 02 to North America East on 9670 and at 04 to North America West. Then at 14 on 9670 for Europe and at 18 on 3955 non-directional for Europe. These programs celebrate TRSW's 5th anniversary. In Cabedelo Paraíba, Brazil, José Ronaldo Xavier, JRX, has celebrated his 76th birthday and now reports something unusual from Guam on 13089 USB. Monday, November 18th at 2152 to 2210, it's the U.S. Coast Guard Station NRV. In slow English, there was technical naval data about many countries, Venezuela, North Korea, Paraguay, and others. JRX also reports from India on 9620 Akashvani, November 18th at 2002 to 2031. It's the Bengaluru site, the French language broadcast, but inserting the English program Spotlight. That was from 2003 until 2017. Rob Wagner in Australia reports that Akashvani's Tibetan language service at 10:45 to 12:15 has a new frequency, exactly 9859.81, replacing 9735. But the CNR jammer is already on it, making heterodyne since it's exactly on 9860. This was November 15th. And he also notes that Akashvani was heard at 0930 on 11864.77. Both these are the Delhi Kingsway site, the one that's likely to be off frequency, unlike Bengaluru, as Wolfgang Büschel reminds us. In the British DS Club, Tony Rogers says, if you follow broadcasts from Shokaze or Seabreeze, Hiroshi's blog in Japan mentions a new schedule effective 19th of November. At 13 to 14 on 7280 and 7335, and at 16 to 17 on 5955 and 6095. Of course, Wednesdays are the day when they are in English, otherwise in Japanese and Korean. Seabreeze is operated by the Investigation Commission on Missing Japanese, probably related to North Korea, regarding persons believed to have been abducted by NK prior to 1983. All broadcasts are 300 kilowatts from Yamata in Japan. BBC is long gone from medium wave 1215 kilohertz, of course, but in the medium wave circle, Steve Witt heard Radio Rossi on that frequency, a good signal, November 20th at 14 UT. What is the transmitter site? Also heard at the same time by John Vinther Nielsen, who says it may be from Kaliningrad. Idun Ritz, also in Denmark, quotes a Russian DX forum that it was a test transmission with 75 kilowatts and a 78-meter antenna, at least until 16 UT. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany managed to hear the Kurdistan-Turkish radio war on almost the same frequency, 11550, November 19th at 10:37, Dengagel, presumably via Uzbekistan, and the Turkish jammer on 11550.014. Later on November 19th, Rick Barton in Arizona was hearing at least the Turkish jammer on 11540 at 1500. But November 21st, at 10:15, Wolfgang Büschel had Dengagel on 11509.996, and the Turkish jamming on 11530.012 at 10:20. Mexico reported NRC DX News about 10:90, XEPRS in Tijuana. The station has flipped to oldies, as reported before, a lineup of well-known personalities including Charlie Tuna, M.G. Kelly, El Chingon, Real Don Steele, and Wolfman Jack, using Talent Farm's syndicated remasters of Wolfman Jack Daily from 5 to 7 p.m. Not clear whether that's Pacific time or the imaginary Eastern local time. Myanmar Non, JRX in Brazil, reports that Radio NUG is now facing jamming, 17790, November 17th at 0211 to 2:30. The National Unity Government Station, transmitted from Taiwan in Burmese. Good signal, but slight to moderate interference by jamming, similar to an electric motor. North American Pirate, last week we had a report of Thunder Chicken Radio on an unusual frequency, 6285, and this week, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin has found it on another unexpected frequency, 4185 USB, November 16th at midnight 57, with ZZ Top. Then a fanfare and Thunder Chicken Broadcasting Network. North American Pirate on November 19th at 0751 on 7475. I was hearing an undermodulated voice of Josiah, so the Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH was on the air very late. Of course, that's still before local midnight Pacific time. Someone usually reports him on and off earlier every night, but not on that date. I often detect a barely audible carrier on 11529.9, presumed Hikari FM pirate. Rick Barton in Arizona has been hearing it on approximately 11530 and another frequency about 11420. He reports that one on November 15th at 1630. On the 17th, also at 16:30. On the 19th at 20:30, it was back to 11:530. If you hear a game in Spanish on 9:30, it could be WKY in Oklahoma City. It seems they are broadcasting the home games of the Oklahoma City Thunder, such as November 21st at 0225. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2270. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com, so voluntary financial support is appreciated. PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com, or by money order or check on U.S. Bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. A known frequency for the Ukraine-Russia radio war is 7055 LSB. Walt Somenev in BC reports it on November 21st from 0455. He says it's in Russian language, clearly anti-Russian, calling the Russian army fascist and a dirty word for Putin. Very good reception. IDing as the Russian Fascist Radio Station. Mentions of the 1,000 days since the invasion and the inability of taking Kiev in 3 days, as Putin promised, despite being the world's most capable army. Seems to be a loop. There were sirens in the background and still going at 0507. Then Horacio Negro in Uruguay tuned in via remote in Maryland on a slightly different frequency, 7059.6, something like Fashitichia Radio Stancia at 0548 with anti-Russian and Putin content, shut off at 0550. Then Walt replies, still there at 0612 but with a different program, something about orthodoxy. And Horacio replies at 0623 on 7055, lower strength than the one on 7059 with a recorded loop. And Tom, DF5JL, explains, one may wonder why this gray propaganda is held on amateur radio frequencies. It helps to remember that ham radio plays an important role in the DOSAAF, which is an abbreviation for the Voluntary Society for Support of the Army, Air Force, and Navy, a paramilitary mass organization to strengthen Russia's defense readiness. Membership of DOSAF is intended to prepare young people for their military service in the Soviet Union's armed forces, both in terms of sport and technology. In addition to activities such as motorsports and sports shooting, also included amateur radio. Radio Exterior de España has a hard time keeping all its four transmitters on the air. 9690, the one for North America, including English, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 23 UT, was missing on Wednesday, November 20th, and still off on the 21st. The frequency for Africa, 17755, had been absent since at least November 11th, but on November 21st, JRX in Brazil was hearing it again. So that leaves the two others we must try, even if we're not in the target area, 12030 for the Middle East, or 17715 for South America. Dan Robinson forwards something from Sanjay Sutradhar on Facebook about Sri Lanka. It appears SLBC 11905 has abandoned shortwave. It's only available online. Gargar Powell in Austria forwards this to the British DX Club about Taiwan. RTI has carefully selected the sounds from everyday life in Taiwan, including folk festivals, travel, and the island's rich cultural and natural heritage over the years. To celebrate RTI's 97th anniversary, we proudly present our first ever audio calendar. Let the warmth of Taiwan's people and the unique local sounds accompany you as you explore the freedom and beauty of this land, welcoming each wonderful day of 2025 together. It also has some very nice illustrations. It's at this website, 2025calendar.rti.org.tw. From a Taiwan transmitter site, Revival Broadcasting System has moved from 7215 to 7200. Reported by Tony Pavic in BC, November 15th at 1400 in Korean. But mentioning RBS, of course, 7200 is that no-no frequency on the boundary between the Hammond broadcast bands. Also transmitted from Taiwan, but for Korea North, on 6115 National Unity Radio, that is, National Unification Broadcasting Unification Media Group, heard by Ron Howard in California with fair reception, but moderate North Korean jamming, as tuned to the remote in Japan, November 18th, from 12:30 until off at 2 seconds past 12:58. At 12:30, they were playing Michael Jackson's Black or White. It seems that at least once a week, the voice of Turkey fails to be on the air for English to North America at 23 UT on 5960. This week it was missing on Monday, November 18th. Here's another chance to hear BBC World Service on shortwave in North America, but don't let them find out about it. Steve Wisebud reports an excellent signal into Texas, November 17th at 2200 on 9580, relay via Philippines. And as I reported last week, the following hour, also via Philippines on 11645. In communication of the British CS Club, this is about the prospects for BBC Radio 4 on longwave 198 kHz. The electricity industry has agreed to fast-track installation of up to 800,000 smart meters to replace radio teleswitches, RTS, which rely on the longwave signal to switch between peak and off-peak rates. Many of the radio teleswitches are in Scotland, and BBC Radio Scotland carried reports about this on October 3rd, making clear that there is a June 2025 deadline for replacing all of the old RTS devices. So next June could be when BBC plans to close its three longwave transmitters, but this is yet to be confirmed. Harry Fry in the far western Florida panhandle reports a USAF MarsNet on 699 3.95 USB, November 15th at 2320 to 2326. First USAF Spec Ops Mars Network with Chief David Andrews, the commander's opening message followed by a review of previous weekend's contest results, recruiting efforts of new members, and thank you to members for previous quarterly event organizing, and then upcoming events with dates and times. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, my wife and I spent a week in Washington, D.C. In addition to going to some of the many museums and art galleries bordering the mall, we visited VOA headquarters for a tour, which are offered on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, starting at precisely noon, first come, first served, and lasting about 1 hour. We were the only ones to show up for this tour on Wednesday, 13 November, so it was really a personal tour. The guide was a VOA employee who started out 20 years ago as a VOA TV director and producer, so he didn't know too much about the radio side of VOA, shortwave in particular. I had to fill him in on some of the radio background. Yet it was an interesting tour, and even my wife, definitely not a radio nerd, found it interesting. We saw a few radio and TV studios with programs on air and some background videos. I took some photos, but the guide wouldn't let me take a photo of the whole newsroom with its 50 or so desks, as he said the news people would not like to get photographed. But I could only count about two people working, and one of them made it into the shot. Mind you, it was the lunch hour, so some could have been missing for that reason. And since COVID, some work from home. But it's been mentioned several times in a World of Radio group, VOA news production has been cut back in recent years. A photo of a virtually empty newsroom would not look good. Dan Robinson, ex-VOA, says one photo shows what numerous sources have reported as a VOA news operation becoming a wasteland, the word used by several sources. The once vibrant and full newsroom has not been full for several years. Mike Cooper in Georgia replies, there's little need for a newsroom when hourly newscasts consist of nothing more than rewritten newswire copy, and all the correspondent reports are from Reuters and AP. The NEB wire is long gone. There are few VOA stringers or reporters. Does the bubble intake room still exist? I noticed that the long-running Press Conference USA interview seems to have died off in August, and Issues in the News is a shadow of its former self. And finally, Kai Ludwig in Germany replies, what are the functions carried out in this newsroom? Where does all the work take place of the language services? They probably do not show at all in such tours. English radio may well be on its way out altogether. It may have been anyway, even if USAGM would have retained a circa $850 million budget. Hans-Jürg Biener noted that some of the remaining shortwave airtime, reduced just a few months ago, is already filled by the VOA1 music channel again. FCC info via NRC DX News says that 950 WHVW, Hyde Park, New York, went silent on November 1st due to financial problems and the transmitter needs fixing. That, of course, is Pirate Joe, J.P. Ferraro's station, who's been simulcasting on WBCQ 7490 in the Pirate Joe Extravaganza, Monday through Friday at 21 to 22 UT, just before World of Radio on Wednesdays, and he has an additional hour at 20 UT on Tuesdays. As he was closing on November 20th, he mentioned WHVW-FM. So I guess it's only his AM that is out of service. The FM is actually only a translator on 96.5 W243EI. However, operating a translator with nothing to relay is not yet kosher. Kari Kallio says, my friend Harry received a message from Radio Northern Europe International. I want to let you know that there will be a new program, number 52, on WRMI starting tonight until mid-December. That is, UT Thursdays at 01 on 5850, at 13 on 15770, and at 01 UT Sunday on 5010. We are also planning a Christmas special like last year for Europe to look forward to. Currently, the plan is to have 3 or 4 hours with shows from many other creators. And there might be a test transmission from Moverton soon before the Christmas special. Wishing you all well, says Rosanna. The Michigan ARE tip sheet, Gerardo Mac Rincon in Portage, Michigan, reports a strong clear signal on 15040, with religious commentary in American English, November 9th at 0128. Well, I think that must have been the second harmonic of WWCR 7520, which is on the air at that hour, not clear whether it would be receiver produced or actually transmitted harmonic. Dennis Gibson forwards big news from RadioInsight.com on November 15th in the San Francisco Bay Area. 810 has one of the best signals, if not the best, on the West Coast, but KGO's ratings with the sports betting format have been dreadful. Nothing is said about the future of that format or what will be on 560. Will the call letters change? 810 has been KGO since signing on in 1924. So the headline is that KSFO 560 is moving to 810. Kai Ludwig skimmed a dozen pages at radiodiscussions.com, so we don't have to. He says 810 at midnight sharp switched to the 560 program audio. It has been hinted that this simulcast will run until year-end. It looks like no outsiders will be told until then what the plan for the 560 signal is. Anyway, the sports betting format is not expected to return on this frequency, since it appears that its operator refused to continue paying the price he was asked for. Rick Barton in Arizona was monitoring 810 at midnight 30 UT, November 20th. At that time, there was KSFO traffic promo saying KGO is now KSFO on 810 AM. But then another promo saying right here on 560 KSFO. The ID on the hour gave both KSFO and KGO calls. Walt Salmaniv confirms that both frequencies are running the same feed at 0223 UT, November 21st. 810 blasting in to Masset, BC, 560 only a little less with co-channel interference. David Folkenflik of NPR News reported on November 17th. The president-elect has picked Brendan Carr, a veteran Republican member of the Federal Communications Commission, to lead the agency that regulates broadcasting, telecoms, broadband, and other related industries. For much of his career, Carr was seen as a relatively conventional Republican with a pro-corporate outlook. Recently, he has embraced Trumpian themes about social media, tech, and television companies. Earlier this month, Carr attacked on X, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft for playing central roles in the censorship cartel, which he said must be dismantled. Keeping up with Radio Vanuatu via remote in New Zealand, Ron Howard says on November 15th, it was on 3945 until off at 1101. Voice belong you me. On November 18th and 19th, he was hearing 9960 as early as 0305 in French. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued November 18th. ANKNC is peaking at 10 and 3, November 25th, 26th, 30th, and December 8th, 11th, and 13th. 12 and 4 on December 1st, 6th, and 7th, and 15 and 3 on December 12th. That is unsettled to active. Mostly quiet periods likely on November 21st to 24th, 28th, 29th, December 4th, 5th, 9th, and 10th. Solar flux peaking at 255, November 28th, down to 140 by December 13th. Do consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser, hoping you'll hear me again next week, as I conclude World of Radio 2270 with a standard disclaimer.